Hello, hello, and welcome to the Already Loved podcast. I am your host, Carly G. Knipe, and guys, I have missed you all so, so much. I am so sorry that I took a little hiatus without telling anybody. I just kind of, you know, faded out of existence in the podcast world, and it became very apparent to me when I had a friend at church who listens to the podcast regularly come up to me and ask me where the podcast went and where I went and what happened. And that was very sobering for me because I realized, wow, I need accountability. And this isn't about me. This is about the Lord and sharing truth with you guys and encouraging you guys. That's the whole point of this podcast. And so I'm so, so sorry. It has been a very long time and I've missed you all so, so much. Thank you for your patience with me though, because I, you know, made a bajillion excuses, and, you know, I'm embarrassed about that. There's no excuse for not doing what you said you were going to do. That's something that I'm trying to get better at, is when I say yes to something, actually following through with it, and consistently, and being prompt with it, and not being late with it. And this is something the Lord is working on with me, too, like discipline, and just being able to have my yes mean yes, and my no mean no, in the age-old Christian saying. So, wow, that rhymed. Anyways, we always start with the song recommendation of the day, and something that has really been speaking to me lately is this song that Upper Room just released. It's called You Remain, and Meredith Malden is in it, as well as Alyssa Smith, and you know, if Alyssa Smith isn't anything, like, I'm gonna listen to it to my heart's content. This song is so, so good, and I really do believe that it's such a beautiful sacrifice of love as a song. The chorus says, Jesus, it's an honor to cast down these crowns. What a privilege to lay my life down, because I know that all I have gained will fade, but you will remain. How beautiful is that? And if you don't know what it means to, like, cast down crowns, it's something that the elders do in Revelation, and it's something that we are called to do as Christians. And the way that I think about it is just, like, a crown is just any earthly reward or, like, trophy that you've gotten. Like, any praise that a human being has gotten. So, like, if somebody tells me that, like, wow, I like your voice, that's a crown that, like, I might wear. Like, wow, like, she likes my voice, like, this is great. I don't even know, that's a really bad example, but basically, when we cast down our crowns, that's us, like, laying those down at Jesus's feet, like, saying, hey Lord, like, you are so much more worthy than my earthly gains. And it's reiterated in that second line where it says, what a privilege to lay my life down, because I know that all I've gained will fade, but you will remain. That's so beautiful. And then the bridge, I literally cry every single time I hear this bridge. Meredith Mullen sings, when I see your face, I'll wish I'd given more away. So don't let me waste a trial. Don't let me miss the chance to praise. Oh my goodness, so beautiful. I picture when I am in heaven looking at Jesus, I know that I will just weep with how much I withheld from him, like how much I held back from him and didn't give him my all and didn't trust him enough to have my full heart. And so it's so beautiful how she says, like, when I see your face, I know that I'll just wish I had given more away. So that's so beautiful. So if you're in a trial right now, if you're having a hard time, or if you, I don't even know, like, if you just need surrender, just lay it down at his feet. And it's so beautiful. I have an episode called Lay It All Down, and it's about surrender, and it's kind of messy because it was one of my first episodes. But if you need more thoughts on what it looks like to lay your life down and to give it to Jesus, then that episode is a great one. But you don't need my help to do it. You literally just need to say, Lord, I surrender. Here's everything. Here's my heart, and really mean what you say. So all that to say, that was the song recommendation of the day. Now we're going to go ahead and pray in to this episode. Dear Lord Jesus, we love you so, so much. And I thank you for showing up, Lord. I thank you that you were ministering to this audience even before I was and when I was not there, Lord. I thank you that you grow us continually by your Spirit, that by your Spirit we are renewed daily. And it's not by our own strength, but it's by you, Lord. And so I pray that you'll instill discipline in me. And I pray that you will instill accountability among all of us, Lord, that we will be able to make our yes mean yes and our no mean no, because that's what honors you, that's what you are, and that's a part of your character. And so we want to reflect you in that way, Lord. I pray that this word just penetrates the heart of everyone, and that we're able to receive a beautiful revelation of who you are, Lord, and everything that you have for us. And Lord, I just pray that we would lay our lives down on the altar for you, because you're more than worthy of it, Lord. You are worthy of every single corner and crevice of my heart, Lord. And so I pray that you would just peel back the layers and allow us to truly rest in your presence today and receive from you, Lord. And also just allow us to bless you by being here and listening to this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this episode is a continuation of the last episode, exposing lies and revealing truth. So I asked my friends a long time ago, hey, what are some lies that you have believed in the past, or maybe some lies that you still believe that discourage you, whether it's just in your own brain or if it's the enemy whispering in your mind or even spoken through somebody else. And this was just such a beautiful bonding moment between me and all of my friends, all my Christian girlfriends that I asked, because I realized that we're all the same. I mean, we're not all the same, but like we all struggle. We all have insecurities and we all deal with so many different lies that the enemy loves to trick us with, you know, and he is the accuser and he is also his native tongue is lies. And so he does not, everything that he says is discouraging. It brings us further from the Lord and it's condemning. And I just want to expose those, because the minute that we expose them, we realize how stupid they really sound. Like, I will be in a group of people and a million thoughts running through my mind of like, why did you say that? They're not gonna like you. You're so stupid, Carly. You're so dumb. Like, nobody likes you. Like, you're so like it, like this is so awkward. Like, you're so weird. All those thoughts. And then I like finally expose those lies by either speaking them out loud, telling somebody, confessing to somebody, or even just praying, and the Lord reveals that to me. Every time that they're exposed, I'm like, the enemy is so stupid. Like, this is not, this doesn't make any sense. Like, clearly my friends love me. Clearly, like, I am okay. Like, nobody thinks I'm weird. Nobody thinks I'm crazy. And if you do, I don't care, because you know what? The Lord made me this way and I'm not going to apologize. But all that to say, like, we always deal with these, and the minute that they're exposed and they're brought to the light, there's no darkness among it. And so you're able to just like expose it and see truly what it is. And you get to see it for what it is, you know? Something that I've noticed lately is that the enemy loves to isolate us. He loves to keep us not talking to each other and almost convince us like, you're the only person that struggles with this lie. Like, you can't talk to anybody about this, because if you do, like, they're gonna shun you. They're gonna turn you away from the church. Like, there's no way that you can be honest with your friends. And so in that, like, those scary whispers of isolation, like, we pull back and we don't tell anybody, and that's how we get stuck in our lies. And so all that to say, this is basically an episode for you and I to expose those falsehoods that we might have come under and come into agreement with. And we are going to break all those chains and reveal the truth and just come under what the Lord is doing and come into agreement with what he's spoken over us. So the first lie that I thought of that one of my friends had told me is the lie that I could be doing more. So this is like, if you're already a Christian, and or even if you just became a Christian, or even if you're not, I think we all sometimes deal with this to some certain extent. Maybe we think like, as a friend, as a student, as a son or daughter, as a boyfriend or girlfriend, as an employee, or just even as a human being, we think, wow, I could be doing more. It's almost like saying like, oh, wow, I'm not doing enough. I have to do more so that I can almost prove myself, or almost, I don't know, like, it's almost an obligation. So it's almost like attached to like this inner shame and insecurity of almost being a good Christian. Not that there's anything that we can do to like be a good or bad Christian. Like, we're not dogs. Like, there's no like, oh, well, good boy. You know what I mean? Like, and I think a lot of us think that we're not doing enough in order to like pay God back. So like when you're tithing and you're like, oh, I could tithe more. Or if you're like serving and you're like, man, I need to serve more. Like, this is like, I'm not doing enough. And obviously some of those like come from a good place. You know what I mean? Like, yes, you should serve with a local church or a local ministry. You should tithe or at least donate some of your money to like a Christian charity or something like that, like giving your money to the poor. But all that to say, those don't define you. Like, those don't make or break whether or not you are a good person or a good Christian per se. I hate just the thought of having to be like a good Christian or not. And even though this feels like some of those things could be like a good thing, honestly, the enemy loves to twist these lies and make us feel worse than how we were before. And so maybe in this way, he'll manipulate this and turn it against you and say like, wow, no one will ever accept you. You are not good enough because you're not tithing enough, because you're not serving enough, because you're not XYZ. So whatever that is for you, the enemy can twist that. And I just want to speak the truth over you. I think about Ephesians 2 verse 8 through 9 that says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Even though this is so basic, like we've all heard this verse, it is such good news because it means that we don't have to work to earn our salvation or earn God's grace. It's a gift. And that's the most beautiful part about it. And grace, like I said earlier, is not a license to sin, but it is just a concept that if you've received it fully, your heart should be so, like, tender towards the Lord that you don't even want to, like, abuse that grace. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like a, when somebody gives you so much and they're, like, so loving towards you, you don't want to hurt that person, right? And so that's kind of how God's grace is, and how we are supposed to interact with it. Lie number two is the lie that I don't hear God's voice correctly. This is so real, especially if you're trying to hear the voice of God on a decision or maybe even just in your life, in your day-to-day. I think a lot of it is like doubt, anxiety. And then honestly, like sometimes I will like overcompensate by like asking for human feedback. Like I'll ask my mom, my dad, my best friend, my boyfriend. I'll ask everyone and everyone, like anyone and everyone for their opinion on what I should do. But instead, I just need to focus on his peace. One piece of advice that I will always give is if you're trying to make a decision or maybe you're in a relationship that you shouldn't be in or you're not sure what to do about a relationship but you're not sure what to do in a situation, follow peace. If you have peace in it, and peace can be like, you know, even that can get confusing because you're like, wait, am I like actually having peace or am I just happy or am I just like whatever? But true peace also is one, surrounded by the fruits of the Spirit, and it also is lasting. It's not like a fleeting peace. It's like, okay, I feel settled. Like you feel settled in your spirit. So, and if you don't feel settled in your spirit, that's likely the Holy Spirit in you, stirring something up so that bringing something to your attention so lovingly. It is good to be self-aware and like know when your flesh and emotions are leading, but this is different, you know, like be discerning in all of that. And I trust that you guys hear the voice of God. And if you need help, like on how to hear the voice of God, or maybe you just don't know if you do, listen to the episode with Brittany Doss. I'm pretty sure it's episode 16, Hearing the Voice of God. So good. And I, when I tell you, I still frequent that episode. Like I will still listen to that episode on a continual basis because it is so, so good. And I just receive revelation every time I hear it. And that's how you know the Holy Spirit is on it. But the truth against the lie that says I don't hear God's voice correctly is John 10:27 that says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. This is so encouraging. We are his sheep. We know his voice. And so if you're worried like you don't hear the voice of God correctly, number one, it is good to have humans, not humans. I don't know why I just humans, like what is that? It is good to have people in your life who hear from the Lord and are, you know, spiritually mature and encourage you in the faith. It's good to have their confirmation, but they should not be the only form of confirmation you're getting. Bring it to the Lord. And if you haven't heard something on it, just wait on the Lord. Like be in his presence continually, and he will reveal it to you in due time. And sometimes we hear the answer and we just don't like it. So if you're in that, and you're, if you're in that boat, don't live in denial. Just, you know, like there's so many times that I have asked the Lord for an answer or, a decision that I have to make. And I know exactly what he's saying, but I'm literally just ignoring it because I don't like the answer. Don't be like me, be better than me. Trust that he really truly knows what's best for you. And he has written this in his book far before you were born, and he knows exactly what's going to happen, and it's going to lead to your best. You know, he wants your best, and so your best for you. And so trust him, like lean into that. And if you're, you know, kind of nervous or not really understanding the whole thing, just lean into that. Just lean into him and trust me, it will all work out in the end, and he has got it in his hands. Lie number three is the thought that I have to be strong and have it all together. This is so real. I'm an Enneagram 8, and say what you want about the Enneagram, but I still sometimes like to identify with some stuff with it, because it just, I feel like it explains some things for me. Obviously, I don't live it, like, as a lifestyle, like, wow, I guess I'm just not going to change my actions because I'm an 8, you know what I mean? Like, no, like, obviously, we should pursue growth, and we cannot let man say who we are. Only God can say who we are, but I like to identify as an 8, and a lot of the Enneagram 8, I guess mantra is like tough it out, bottle up what I feel, like put up a front. And it doesn't really show, like I don't think that if you met me you would think that I do this, but in a lot of ways I think I feign positivity, or I feign sweetness and like jokes, when really like there is something going on in the back. and there's like a very big wall that I put up sometimes of like, okay, I'm gonna let people into part of my like brain and part of my heart, but not all of it, so that they think that they're getting like my vulnerability when really like there is so much going on in the background. But what a lie that we have to be strong, we have to have it all together. If you grew up in a family where you really did have to carry the burdens and it was hard for you, I completely understand that. When my parents were getting divorced, I really did feel like, in so many ways, I didn't feel like I was like holding my family together, but I really did feel like there was a big burden to be there for everyone in my family if they needed something. And also, I feel like a lot of that stripped some of my childhood, like stripped some of my high school years and the innocence and the fun of it. And obviously, things worked out the way that they did. I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm not sad about it. Like, I don't think that I lost much, because I really, really gained so much more because I had to pursue the Lord. But I did feel like that lie was ringing in my head, like, you have to have it all together because nobody else in your family does, or you have to have it all together because if you don't, your whole family's gonna fall apart. And those were lies. Like, that's not true at all. Like, I, the youngest in my family, did not have to have it all together. And so if you have a family where, like, you really do feel like you're the one, like, holding it all up, just know that, like, there is a safe place to go in Jesus. Like, he is the one that you can fall apart in front of and be totally okay. And he is going to hold you through it. And he's going to be there for you and listen to you and love you and comfort you. He does not judge you. He does not scold you. I remember talking about the verse. It says that whoever comes to God, he will never turn away. And so that is the truth. And I also think about that verse in 2 Corinthians that says his power is made perfect in our weakness. Like, when we are weak, we are strong because he is there. You know, like, I almost think of it as like, if I'm trying to like carry this really heavy weight, do you know how much easier it is to carry like a couch when you're trying to move when somebody else is there carrying it with you? You know what I mean? And then you look down and you realize like, God has been carrying the couch the whole time. And we've just been like straining against this couch for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of a silly example, but I'm almost getting this imagery of like me like struggling, like holding this couch and being like, oh my gosh, where is God in this? Why am I the only one carrying this couch? Whatever. And then I look down and realize, oh, God's been carrying the couch the whole time. I've just been like lifting my hands against it because I like think that I'm carrying it, but I'm not doing anything. Like, he is literally the one carrying it all. And so that's what I mean by like his power is made perfect in our weakness. When we admit our weakness, then he is able to fully lift that couch, and he's able to fully lift our burdens, and we're able to be made new and be renewed in that, and we're not straining and striving in our own strength. And so if there's a lie that says like you have to be strong, you have to have it all together, just know that it is okay to be weak with the Lord. And if you have good friends and good family around you who love the Lord, it is okay to be weak around them. Find one or two people that you feel super safe with and just have those people be like your people. Like, this is going to be the person that I break down crying in front of, and it's going to be okay. Yeah, I don't think you should break down and cry in front of 10 people, but like, if you do, that's okay. But all that to say, like, have a small group of people where you feel completely safe with them and you're able to be vulnerable with them. The next lie is the lie that I am stuck in my ways and I will never change for the better. This is so real. I feel like there are so many times that I'm like, wow, will I ever get better? Will I ever stop doing XYZ? Will I ever stop sleeping in until noon? Will I ever stop indulging in eating more food when I know that, like, I don't need it? Will I ever stop? Like, all these little things. And those are so oddly specific. And obviously I'm getting way better at like waking up early and like being more disciplined, like I said. But listen, sometimes that college student just kind of bleeds out and I just become like a sloth, LOL. But all that to say, there is that lie that like, oh wow, I don't think I'll ever change. But the truth is that he is constantly making you new. Every single day. He is constantly renewing you. I think about 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says, "And we all, with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." We are going from glory to glory. Like, we are constantly being transformed into the image of God. And we were made in the image of God. So yes, you are not stuck in your ways. You will change for the better. I also think about that verse, Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That is so, so encouraging. And once again, in 2 Corinthians, that verse 5:17 that says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." If you're hearing these and it's like kind of hard to resonate with them, just put yourself in them. Think about, he who began a good work in you will be bringing it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So whenever I need like encouragement, or I need like to be reminded of just like how God really is transforming me and I am not stuck in my ways, just turn this and put I in it. Say, he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion. That's a promise. He will bring it to completion. And then that other verse in 2 Corinthians, I am in Christ, and so I am a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. This is the truth. Speak this over yourself. Remind yourself. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your car. Put it on your bathroom mirror. I already said mirror, but it doesn't matter. All that to say, just keep reminding yourself, because this is the truth. The next lie is the lie that God can't just love me for me. And this is different but similar to like kind of like the first lie that I talked about, you know, where you feel like, oh my gosh, I have to be doing more. But I believe this is really how we view and approach God. I remember Brittany Doss saying something like this in the episode with her, episode 16, I think. I hope that it is episode 16, because I've been saying that episode this whole time. It's the one that says hearing the voice of God with Brittany Doss. Anyways, I remember talking about this in her episode, and she was saying how when it's hard to be in communion with God and we're like really not, you know, like on that train with the Lord and like really like living in and abiding with Jesus, it's because we haven't fully received his love for us. And it's because we don't think that we're worthy of that love. Like, it's hard for us to receive that. And that is so, so true. And I think this lie really like nails that in, because it says, like, God can't just love me for me. Like, it feels like there's something more that God needs from me before he can fully love me. But that is not the truth. I think this shows up in different ways. It shows up like maybe feeling like you could have read your Bible for longer, or thinking that you could be serving more. And sometimes it even shows up as people pleasing. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, God can't love me for me. And that means that people can't love me for me. So I just need to do all the things that I can to make everyone happy, and then I will be fully loved. But Romans 5:8, the truth says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Like, this is the biggest verse that I think nails this on the head, saying, while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. The ultimate showing of love, which is dying for somebody, God already did that for me. He did that for me while I was still sinning, while I was still living apart from him. And so now that I'm living with him, obviously he still loves me. Like, if he loved me while I hated him, he definitely loves me while I'm loving him. And that just goes to show that his love is not based on our actions. And I have said this a bajillion times, but it just still rings true so much every single day for me. And I think this whole God can't love me for me is almost like that orphan mindset. It's like a survival mindset. Like, we're like, oh my gosh, he can't love me for me, so I have to like try to do stuff in order to earn the love. And that's an orphan mindset. But you are an adopted son or daughter of the King. He loves you. He went out of his way to find you and bring you into his family and show you how much he loves you. The last lie that we're going to talk about today is the lie that I am too young and incapable. I totally have felt this when I was in high school. I remember serving at church and just being like, wow, I am like, maybe I'm too young for this. And then even if it's not like you're like too young, sometimes we just think that like, wow, I am incapable. Like, I just don't think that I am able to do this. Whether it's church, school, life, in the whole like I'm too young part, like maybe you feel like you're too young to make a difference, like no one will take you seriously. And then in the second part of it, kind of like when you're feeling incapable, sometimes you just feel inadequate and like not properly equipped to do what you're supposed to do, whether it's your calling or just your homework. But the truth is, in 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, conduct, love, in faith, and in purity. I love this verse. I've heard this oversaturated so much, but honestly, it is so good because, yes, like as youth, LOL, like I guess we're youth, we are supposed to set an example for all believers. And I love the way that my pastor puts this. He says there's no junior Holy Spirit. Just because you're young doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit isn't just as powerful in you as he is in everybody else. And so don't discount that in yourself. Like, don't write yourself off because of that. I also think like we are to become more like children in our faith. Like, we are to become more dependent on God. Like, you think of how a toddler is so dependent on their parent. Like, a toddler literally can't do anything without an adult doing it for them, like, first. Trust me, I've babysat a lot and I'm like, listen, you could totally go grab that sandwich off of the table, but you're asking me to come bring it to you. Like, come on. You know what I mean? But that is the dependence that we're supposed to have with the Lord. Like, Lord, I need you for everything. I don't need you just like in the hard decisions, in the hard times. I need you in every area of my life. And that is so beautiful. And that's how we're supposed to be. And so if you ever feel like you're too young, like if someone's making you feel that way, first of all, just like don't receive what they have to say. Like if they make you feel inadequate, or if they make you feel like, if they're like talking down to you and they're being condescending, like you don't have to receive that. People have said stuff to me before, and I've literally said out loud, I'm not even kidding, I've said, I don't receive that. Because in the past, I would like jokingly say like, oh, wow, thank you, that's really nice. Or like, oh, like, ha ha ha, yeah. And I would just kind of like stow it away in my head. But truly, words are so powerful. And so if somebody says something to you that is condescending, it doesn't bring you closer to the Lord, and it's condemning, you do not have to receive it. Like, you can literally say, I do not receive that. That is not for me. That is not my portion. That is not from the Lord. So I am not going to let that into my mind. But even if no one's making you feel like that, if no one's making you feel like you're too young and it's just like in your head, just know that so, so much ministry can be done while you are the age that you are right now. Like, you will never be as young as you are right now. And so take advantage of the time that you have, take advantage of the energy that you have and the health, because this is really the time to just like get in everything that you've wanted to do. You know, like honestly, I did so much ministry in high school and I'm so, so grateful for it, because I will never get that time back. You know, it was such a beautiful time. And so if you're young, congrats. I wish I was you again, because I mean, I'm still young, but like, you know, like it is so, so special to be in high school serving the Lord, or in like your early years of college, or even just in college period and serving the Lord. Like, it's just so beautiful. The other verse that I think about is Matthew 18:1-4, which says, about at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's another thing that I absolutely love, is that in childlike faith, like you are becoming humble. Like you are like lowering yourself and saying like, wow, I really, really don't know anything. And like, God is almighty. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. Like he is the one leading me and guiding me. And you just almost like how like a child like holds their parent's hand, like leans into their parent, and they're like, oh my gosh, I need you, you know, like you are the one who's leading me. And just that trust in that complete yielding, like there's no hesitation from the child. And that's how we're supposed to be with the Lord. So just reiterating what I was saying earlier. Another thing that I think about in 2 Timothy is, for the Spirit of God does not give us timidity, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So, so true. Three things that I think we all need in life: power, love, and self-discipline, especially self-discipline for me, lol. But it's so, so true. Like if you ever feel like, oh my gosh, I am inadequate, I am not capable of doing what I'm supposed to do, literally, like I said, whether it's your calling or your homework, that is not how the Lord has called you to be. Like the Spirit of God does not give you that timidity. He gives you power and love and self-discipline. And so the way that I apply this is saying like, I am capable. This is what I literally will do. I'm not even kidding. When I am feeling overwhelmed and I feel like I can't do what I'm called to do, or can't do what I'm just like supposed to do in the moment, I literally say out loud, I am strong and fully capable of doing what the Lord has called me to do in this moment. I know it's so cheesy, but it's so, so true. And my friend actually was the one who had that revelation, and she shared that she does that and she says that. And so now I say it, and it's just so encouraging, like just affirming out loud, like I have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. God has equipped me for everything that I have to do right now. And so I'm just going to do it. That's the self-discipline part, just doing it. You know what I mean? And so all that to say, you are not too young. You are not incapable of doing what the Lord has called you to do. The other thing that I think about also is 2 Corinthians 12:9. We already talked about this one, where his power is made perfect in my weakness. Like, once again, just reiterating that he really does show up for us when we cannot show up for ourselves. And he really does fill in all of the gaps that we do not fill in. And there are so many of those for me, so many of those for all of us, because we are, you know, just very imperfect because we are human beings. All that to say, I'm going to go ahead and pray us out. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so, so much for showing up today. Thank you for being here, Lord, and just encouraging us. Thank you for speaking through me. You are so, so worthy. And so we give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the praise. Right now, we just want to say no to our flesh and awake our souls to worship you, Lord, and just to love you and serve you and praise you, Lord. You're so worthy of this. And I thank you that you make your throne upon our praise. And so as we praise you with our mouths right now, Lord, you're here. And you are resting on these words. I love you so much, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for listening, guys. Share this episode with a friend if you liked it, or on social media if you liked it. And if you do share it on social media, tag me at Already Left Podcast so I can see it. If you aren't already following me on Instagram, at KG Knipe or at Already Left Podcast for both life updates, podcast updates, all the things. And yeah, I love you guys so much. And I'm so glad we're back on this grind. I'm so excited. So it's not even a couple, just one tiny announcement. So for the rest of summer until probably mid-August, I will be doing episodes every week. And then once school starts, I'm going to be doing episodes every other week. So that's about 2 to 3 episodes a month, just because life happens. And also, like, it really does, I think, like, it becomes a lot. Even as a listener, you're like, oh my gosh, there's so many episodes coming out and I literally can't even like keep up with all of them. And then you feel like you're behind and then you just don't listen to any of them. You know what I mean? Like, that happens to me with podcasts all the time. So if you feel that way, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, because once school year starts, it's going to be an episode every other week. And we will, yeah, I guess I will see you guys every other week, which is really nice. I love you all so much. And I hope you have an amazing day. Thanks for listening. Peace out.